Hello, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, June 30th, 2020. And we will start with the front page of the commercial news. Our first story is entitled, Municipal Ban to Present a Shortened Season. This is by Mary Wyckoff. Danville. A number of people have asked Director Dave Schroeder, when is the municipal band going to play again? Good news, this weekend. The band will perform at 7 p.m. every Sunday in July at Lincoln Park. The shortened season will begin this weekend with a patriotic program, American Salute. I know that the community is starved for things to get out and do this summer, he said. This is a free concert and a chance to enjoy the fresh air. The musicians are also looking forward to playing, he said, and he expects 43 performers to show up this weekend. The only concern might be the weather. In the past, the band has moved its concert to St. James United Methodist Church when the weather was bad. However, with the state guidelines prohibiting crowds of more than 50 people due to the coronavirus pandemic, that won't be an option this summer. We're keeping our fingers crossed that the weather cooperates, he said. This is another milestone year for the band, which marks its 80th anniversary. The municipal band, which receives some city funding, is one of the oldest continuously performing bands in the state. Normally, the band has 6 rehearsals and 6 concerts for its summer season, but that's down to 4 because of the pandemic restrictions. The state's Phase 4 reopening allowed the band to give a concert in a park. Sunday's program will begin with American Salute, written by Morton Gould for orchestra, but adapted for a band. Schroeder described it as rip-snorter, saying it incorporates When Johnny Comes Marching Home. That will be followed by Stone Gardens, a contemplative piece by Robert W. Smith. Other numbers include An American Spectacle, which includes tunes from the Civil War and forward, America's Finest, a tribute to the Armed Forces, the 1812 Overture, and James Ployer's A Nation's Prayers, which uses hymn tunes, including God of Our Fathers. It will be a good program, Schroeder said. The concert will follow the state and local government recommendations for social distancing. The band will perform in the Lincoln Park Performing Arts Center band shell, which got a new roof and some needed repairs recently, just in time for the concert season. The city hired McDowell Builders of Sidell for the work in making repairs to the roof and putting on the new shingles. Construction of the band shell was completed in 2004. The city received an Arts Friendly Community Award at an Illinois Municipal League annual conference for the band shell's construction. The band shell idea started with members of the Danville Municipal Band, and then State Senator Judy Myers helped secure a state grant, in addition to other donations, including from the Hares Foundation. Our next story is entitled, Police Update Firearms Arrests, and this is a staff report. Danville. The Danville Police Department are updating the public on several recent arrests involving firearms during the months of May and June. Many of the incidents involved the new POP unit, which began patrols on May 18th. The following summaries were issued in a press release Monday afternoon by Commissioner Josh Webb. At 5:07 p.m., May 19th, 2020, members of the Danville Police POP unit conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle for an equipment violation in the area of Bradley Lane and Washington Avenue. During the traffic stop, officers observed a handgun on the back seat in between several subjects who were sitting in the vehicle. During follow-up investigation, officers found the handgun to be loaded and not cased properly. The occupants were taken into custody and charged with unlawful use of a weapon. At 5:40 p.m., May 26th, members of the Danville Police POP unit conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle that was driving in reverse in the middle of the roadway in the area of the 400 block of Elm. As officers made contact with the vehicle, the driver attempted to flee the scene on foot, but he was taken into custody and found to have several outstanding Vermilion County arrest warrants, as well as driving without a valid license. Officers also spoke with the passenger of the vehicle, and during the investigation of the incident, they learned the passenger was in possession of a loaded handgun. The passenger did not have a valid FOID card and was also taken into custody for unlawful use of a weapon. At 9:05 p.m. on May 29th, members of the Danville Police POP Unit conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle for speeding. During the traffic stop, officers observed the driver was drinking alcohol from an open container and also had cannabis that was not properly packaged inside the vehicle. During further investigation, the officers located a loaded handgun inside the vehicle, and the driver was taken into custody for unlawful use of a weapon. At 8:31 p.m. on June 5th, members of the Danville Police POP Unit conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle for an equipment violation in the area of Griffin and William Streets. Officers made contact with the driver and learned he was driving with a suspended license. The driver was taken into custody, and officers then located a handgun inside the vehicle. The driver did not have a valid FOID card and was charged with unlawful use of a weapon, as well as driving with a suspended license. At 7:24 p.m. on June 15th, Danville police officers on routine patrol observed a subject riding his bicycle on the sidewalk and wearing a bulletproof vest. Officers drove up next to the subject and were still in their squad car as they tried to speak with the subject about the city ordinance pertaining to riding his bicycle on the sidewalk. As officers were making contact with the subject, he stopped his bike, and officers then heard something metal hit the ground in the area where the subject was standing. The officers then got out of their vehicle and located a loaded handgun on the ground. The subject was taken into custody and charged with unlawful use of a weapon by a felon and no valid FOID card. At 9:31 p.m. on June 25th, members of the Danville Police POP Unit conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle for multiple equipment violations in the area of Williams and Griffin Streets. Officers made contact with the driver and also observed a passenger in the vehicle who they recognized as a person who was wanted on previous charges from a prior incident. Officers took the passenger into custody and then searched the area where he was sitting and located a loaded handgun. The passenger did not have a valid FOID card and was charged with unlawful use of a weapon. Webb noted the above-listed cases are pending in Vermilion County Court. Our next story is another staff report, and this one is titled County Parks Announce Updates. Danville. With Illinois transitioning into Phase 4 of Restore Illinois, the Vermilion County Conservation District announces the following updates for Kennecuck County Park, Forest Glen County Preserve, Lake Vermilion, and Heron County Park. Shelter reservations will resume at Kennecuck County Park and Forest Glen. All reservations must be for groups of fewer than 50 people. All CDC, IDPH, and Phase 4 of Restore Illinois guidelines must be followed while visiting the parks. No groups larger than 50 people at a time, and maintain social distancing. The visitor centers at Kennecuck and Forest Glen will remain closed to the public, but have a walk-up window for visitors. All education buildings, nature centers, and historic buildings will remain closed. The ranger station at Forest Glen will be closed with a walk-up window for campground registration. All parks will close promptly at 10 p.m. Select outhouses are open for use. At Forest Glen, the outhouses at Beech Grove, Audubon Barn, North Picnic Area, and the Pioneer Homestead Cabin will be open. At Kennecuck, the outhouses at the Wheeler Nature Trail, Horseshoe Pond, Red Oak School, Middle Fork Canoe Access, Lake Mingo Boat Ramp, and Adrian's Pond will be open. The outhouse at the boat ramp at Lake Vermilion will also be open. Heron County Park's outhouse will remain closed at this time. The outhouses will be cleaned on a limited basis. People should bring hand sanitizer and/or wipes when visiting the parks and use the outhouses with appropriate precautions. The campgrounds at Forest Glen will continue to remain open. For full details, see Facebook or the website at www.vccd.org. Fishing tournaments may continue to be scheduled for Lake Vermilion and Lake Mingo. For more details, see Facebook or the website. Park guidelines are subject to change if they are not followed, or if new guidelines are issued by the state of Illinois. For questions, call Kennecuck at 442-1691 or Forest Glen at 662-2142. Forest Glen's maple syrup is available for sale from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at both the Forest Glen and Kennecuck Visitor Centers. During the evenings and weekends, the syrup is available at the Forest Glen Ranger Station from 5 to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday, noon to 8 p.m. on Friday, and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. Occasionally, the syrup will be sold at the Danville Farmers Market, which is from 8 a.m. to noon on Saturdays. Customers can use credit, debit, or cash or check at a walk-up window at either park. The Forest Glen maple syrup sells for $15 a pint or $30 a quart. For more information, call Forest Glen at 662-2142. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, June 30th, and the first that we have today is for Sarah Lee Tucker. Sarah Lee Tucker, 95, of Danville, passed away on June 25th, 2020, at Colonial Manor Nursing Home. Visitation for Sarah Lee will be from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Tuesday, June 30th, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. It will be followed by a graveside service at Stern Cemetery in Fithian, Illinois, at 10:30 a.m. Barbara Jean Jakowski. Barbara Jean Jakowski, 91, of Danville, Illinois, passed from this life on June 26, 2020, at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living in Chrisman, Illinois. A visitation for Barbara will be from 10 to 11 a.m. on Thursday, July 2nd, at Resurrection Cemetery, with a committal to follow at 11 a.m. Memorial contributions may be made in Barbara's name to Holy Family Catholic Church, 444 East Main Street in Danville. Timothy Merrick. Timothy Scott Merrick, 59, of Danville, passed away June 5, 2020, of natural causes. A memorial celebration will be held July 25, 2020, at Douglas Park from 1 to 4 p.m. Ronald Lee Schaefer. Ronald Lee Schaefer, 87, of Danville, Illinois, formerly of Covington, Indiana, passed away on June 25, 2020, at VA Illiana Healthcare Systems. A celebration of Ronald's life will be held at 10 a.m. Central Time on Wednesday, July 1, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Covington, with Pastor Darla Holden officiating. A private burial to follow at Danville National Cemetery. Visitation will be held on Tuesday, June 30, 2020, at the funeral home in Covington, Indiana, from 4 to 7 p.m. Central Time, with Masonic rites at 7 p.m. Central. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that memorials be made in Ronald's name to Children's Dyslexia Center of East Central Illinois. Miriam W. Hollingsworth. Miriam Juanita Hollingsworth, 86, of Danville, passed away at 12:40 a.m. on June 26, 2020. Cremation will take place with a burial at Hopewell Cemetery in Quaker, Indiana, at a later date. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville has been entrusted with the arrangements. Memorial donations may be made in Miriam's name to the Alzheimer's Association at 225 North Michigan Avenue, Floor 17, Chicago, Illinois, 60601, or Hopewell Friends Church, care of Joe Ellis, at P.O. Box 603, Dana, Indiana, 47847. Dalton Eric Russian. Dalton E. Russian, 25, of Danville, passed away unexpectedly at 2:17 a.m. Thursday, June 25, 2020, at his home. A gathering to celebrate his life will be at 6 p.m. Tuesday, June 30, 2020, at the Tilton Community Center in Tilton, Illinois. A casual dress visitation is from 2 to 5 p.m. on Tuesday at Robison Chapel in Catlin, Illinois. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, face masks will be required for entry to the visitation, and only 10 people at a time can be admitted. The family will be present at the Tilton Community Center. Memorials in Dalton's memory are for the benefit of Mason. Checks should be made payable to Deborah Russian. Dolly Isaacson. Dolly Isaacson, 73, of Danville, died at 3:34 p.m. Sunday, June 28, 2020, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Joseph Juvenal. Joseph E. Juvenal, 82, formerly of Danville, died at 3:15 a.m. on Monday, June 29, 2020, at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living in Chrisman. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. That's all we have for the obituaries for today. We're going to turn to the Talk of the Towns section from the News Gazette for some local updates. First, for Danville, we have the Vermilion County War Museum will reopen July 21st for regular business hours. The staff will follow state guidelines, including requiring staff and visitors to wear masks and maintain social distancing. There will be hand sanitizing stations throughout the museum at 307 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Admission is $5 for adults and $2 for students. The museum is open from noon to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday. For information about the reopening or other museum activities, email the museum at vcwm@comcast.net or call 217-431-0034. In Royal, girls softball started play Monday with games continuing through July 23rd at the St. Joseph Sports Complex. The season will consist of sandlot-style games for players 12 and under who are required to have their own equipment to prevent sharing. And in Ogden, the village will be sprayed for mosquitoes at dusk today, weather permitting. Also, Ogden Rose Library is seeking a library director. Email ogdenroseapplication@gmail.com for information. And in Homer, the Homer Vintage Bakery will not be reopening to dine-in customers, but the owner, Crystal Allen, will continue to take orders. Allen said the purpose of opening her bakery was to bake my delicious pies, cookies, cakes, and cheesecakes, and decorate special holiday cakes. Allen said the bakery, which had started selling breakfast and lunch food before the pandemic, was never intended to be a restaurant. Allen also teaches at the University of Illinois. "The bakery is just my hobby," she said. "There are not enough hours in the day to do both full-time." And turning back to the commercial news, we're going to read an editorial printed here. It looks like this is a reprint from the Southern Illinoisan from June 28th, 2020. And it's entitled, "Is There Room for a Phase 4.5? If we look around the country, Illinois definitely earns a passing grade in the way it's handled the COVID-19 outbreak. Illinois is still in the top 10 in the United States for cases and deaths, but that's down from being in the top 3 or 4 in the country just a few weeks ago. More importantly, the curve, whose importance we've seen repeatedly and emphatically reminded of, is showing a downward trend in Illinois. That's not the case in many states around the country. With numbers and percentages trending the wrong way in southern states like Arizona, Nevada, Texas, and Florida, governors are facing backlash about reopening decisions and being forced to retreat and reimpose restrictions. That's the worst possible place to be. Of course, Illinois faces its own danger of that possibility as we enter into Phase 4 of Governor J.B. Pritzker's Restore Illinois plan. There's the possibility that expanding our circles of contact results in an unwanted spike of positives. If we get to that point, we will need to contemplate those decisions the governors in those southern states are hating to make. Pritzker and the citizens of Illinois have earned a victory lap so far." This is the point where the criticism Pritzker's plan has engendered from the beginning is wholly fair and accurate. Phase 5, the final phase of Reopen Illinois, demands a widespread, effective treatment for coronavirus, a vaccine, or no new cases of COVID-19 for a prolonged period. Health officials have said a vaccine is still months from being approved. Pritzker said he'll listen to scientists, and certainly medical experts will have their say as well. That reality seems further away than Phase 4 did when Pritzker announced the reopening plan on May 5th. Critics who suggested Pritzker's plan gave him unlimited and unchecked power pointed to the, at best, distant possibility of reaching Phase 5. So perhaps Pritzker needs to gather his experts in a circle and consider whether they might make room for a Phase 4.5 and what might be included in that. Arguing the logic of the way we've handled the outbreak from the beginning has been easy for those who just want to disagree. Grocery stores and large stores offering a number of items were allowed to stay open, while other businesses were not. Groups were not allowed to gather, but backlash and an absence of teeth and regulations left groups that gathered untouched. Masks were politicized like nowhere else in the world. Your patriotism and your care for your fellow man were evaluated in the statement made by a person's mask decision. And we're ignoring arguments of the virus being a hoax and that it's nothing more than a bad flu, given that the death toll already exceeds annual flu death averages. What would Phase 4.5 look like? That's where the people affected come in. Church officials went to the state of Illinois route to make their cases and won. Whether the decision was logical or political or shades of both is immaterial. Perhaps the best way to allow expansion of openings is for the officials of any group to go to a governmental board to make their case. However far away Phase 5 is, successful and thoughtful concessions might make the trek to total reopening seem a shade easier. And today from Ask Annie, we have a section entitled Protect Your Catharsis. Dear Annie, I recently read the letter from a better man today who was concerned about people reading his personal diary, particularly about his dark times. I agree with your answer, but would like to add one more idea. Create a burn box and entrust it to someone who will not open it or divulge its contents, but will see that it is destroyed upon your death or at your request. I read about this once upon a time and apologize for not recalling the origin. I suspect it was from the military. I shared this idea with a very dear friend of mine years ago because she also journaled and was concerned about how her children might react to her words and deepest feelings. She created her burn box, sealed it, and left instructions that it was to be given to me. I understood that once I received it, I was to burn it. She may have cleaned it out and destroyed the contents already. I don't know, and don't need to know at this point. But this may be another way for a better man today to have some peace of mind about his most personal, deepest thoughts. Dear Burn Box, what a clever idea. Thank you for your suggestion. Dear Annie, I resisted responding to the first letter you received in regard to eliminating mice, but after reading another on that subject this morning, I decided to add my experience. When I lived in my previous house, I would get a mouse visitor every so often, so I set out a cage trap. I was delighted to discover that each one I caught had a facial expression and personality all its own. For example, one looked at me with great irritation, and I could almost hear it thinking, "You've got some nerve, just wait till I get out of here." Another was quite afraid and huddled as far away from me as possible. Another had a sweet expression and looked at me as if to say it would like to know more about me. I would drive each one to a wooded area away from houses and let them free. Signed, Missing My Mice. Dear Missing My Mice, your sweet story makes me imagine them like little cartoon characters. Maybe you could write a children's story about them. All people and animals have unique personalities and characteristics that make them special. It is beautiful you notice that in little mice. And from the community brief section, we have the following items. For Danville, board to meet. A special meeting of the Board of Fire and Police Commissioners will be held at noon today in the Mayor's Conference Room at the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building for the purpose of selecting a police officer for promotion to sergeant. Danville School District 118 will continue to offer free breakfast and lunch in grab-and-go bags from 10 to 11 a.m. every Tuesday at Danville High School. This will continue all summer for District 118 families. Drive through on Jackson Street and stay in the vehicle for no contact delivery. Yoga classes will be offered on Wednesdays in July at the Fisher Theater. Registration is limited, and the classes will be from 7 to 8 a.m. on July 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. The cost is $15 per class or $50 for all five sessions. You can register at their website. And that takes us to the end of our time for today, Tuesday, June 30th, 2020. My name is Greg. It's been a pleasure to read for you today, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Take care.